Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Special edition Hello, World. Living in today's world, more than one program, and Life 101, yep.
You've probably heard it said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Quitters never win, winners never quit. When the difficult times come into your life, what is your response? And it may seem easier sometimes to, why don't we quit while we're ahead? This is not the kind of attitude that God wants us to demonstrate, however. Instead, we're to hold our heads high and press on through the pain. This comes as a shock to many believers. After placing their faith in Jesus Christ, they often are surprised when some unexpected hardships arrive. This reveals a terrible misconception. The Bible does not promise an easy life once you accept Jesus as Lord. In fact, the Word assures us quite the opposite. Jesus himself declared that if we're found in him, the world will give us a great deal of trouble. John 16:33. At the end of your struggle, you're going to see that God is standing with your reward. The crown of life, James 1:12. This is an athletic reference. Essentially, the crown of life is God's gold medal for a job well done here.
For the Christian, part of living in today's world is telling others about your salvation experience. And part of your purpose being on this earth is to tell others about Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How often I reflect back on the teenage boy that invited me to church back in 1973 when I came to know Christ as Savior. It's a really big deal. Well, the Bible says, he that winneth souls, she, you're not being left out, ma'am, that winneth souls is wise. Are you a wise person? And let me ask you, just a little break from today's routine. How many people have you led to Christ so far in 2023? Do you think about it? Do you even attempt to do that? Talk to people about Jesus deliberately, maybe every day. Do you plan on it? What are you getting at, Greg? Well, my former pastor, Dr. James Bachman, Roanoke Baptist Church, has been the greatest soul winner I've ever met. Anytime, anywhere we have ever gone, usually he comes home with some souls in his sack, talking about leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's crippled, he's in his 80s, and so God led him to talk on the phone, call people randomly. Isn't this something? And witness, how do you think it's going? Are you ready? In 2023, he has led 639 people to the Lord. How many a day is that? In addition, he has a new book out there. Well, it's not new. It's been out a couple of years, I guess, on suicide that even some branches of the military are using, and what a thing to talk about today because it is getting more and more prevalent with each passing day, people taking their lives. And he has a tremendous book. Going to talk to him on Southwest Radio Church about this for a couple of days coming up, but I wanted to know more about how do you do this? How do you talk to people? Just randomly calls and starts witnessing to people. 639. He said, you got time for one story? I said, absolutely. He said, I called this man over in Van Wert, Ohio. I don't know, it's 30, 40 miles away from us here in Fort Wayne. So I just called and was talking to him and witnessing. And he said, could I interrupt you? I have to go to the bathroom. I'll call you back. And Dr. Bachman, again, very congenial, always is, just said, that'll be fine. I'm sure he gets that a lot, by the way. And so the guy never called back. So Pastor Bachman called the next day and asked for Dave, and one of the family members, one of the children was there and said, Dad passed away yesterday. He went to the bathroom and never came out. Boy, I have a multiplicity of thoughts on that one, don't you? And Dr. Bachman said, well, I was talking to him about a heaven and hell and how to go there, and then this person interrupted. Pastor Bachman said, excuse me, you were talking to Dad about heaven and hell. And yes. Could we call you back? I'm going to get all the family in here, and we're going to put you on speakerphone, and maybe you can tell all of us what you were the last person to talk to Dad. Wow. Are you serious? They did. They called back. And Pastor Bachman gave the complete plan of salvation to all this family that had gathered together to make arrangements for their father's funeral. And five of them on the phone, speakerphone, prayed and accepted Christ as Savior. You and I think we cannot do stuff because physical infirmities, maybe you can't get around and you can't get out and you have a phone, you have a cell phone. That's how Dr. Bachman gets it. But that's not the end of this story. It gets gooder. What are you talking about, Greg? They were Catholic. It's a Catholic family that attends a Catholic church there in Ohio. And they ask him to come and share the same thing at the funeral service in the Catholic church. Pastor Bachman went happily on his way. And somewhere in there, they had the service, but the problem was so many people came to the church service, there wasn't enough room, so they moved it over to a gymnasium. Just like God. Let's get a big audience here. What happened next? He got his chance. He was introduced. And he said he leaned against the wall and shared the gospel story that he had shared with this man. And guess what, people? A tremendous response in the Catholic church service. 35 people prayed and accepted Christ as Savior. Isn't that something? I'm just amazed by that somebody would think about using the phone in their older years and calling people and talking about Jesus, and then the tremendous number that have accepted Christ as Savior through one man's efforts. One of those thoughts that I have is, there's nothing going to happen unless you do something, right? I mean, the answer can always be no, of course. And it's just like, even for salespeople, you know, there's a certain percentage, I don't know what it is anymore, of all the people you talk about your product, those that will actually buy it. Well, what we're offering here is eternity, life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? What is one soul worth? And of course, then you have to make an effort. And Pastor has his schedule every day, 7 days a week, I guess, where he blocks out that time. I don't know where he gets all the numbers, just randomly calls and starts talking to people about Jesus Christ. He that winneth souls is wise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you good at it? Anything you work at, whether it's Bible memorization, speaking or writing. We found this out writing our new book, so many things I did not know, and yet I had so many brilliant minds helping along the way that I came out looking pretty good for the most part as a writer. And so I will learn. And when our next book comes out, it'll be better than this one, I assure you. And the next one will be better than that one. You get the idea. So it is with talking to people about Jesus. The more you do it, the better it is. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead, guide, direct, but you have to have a plan, you have to have a purpose, and you have to do something. So regardless of your situation today, why not do something? Talk to people about Jesus every chance you get. He will bring opportunities into your life, and sometimes you got to go seek them out. Thank you, Dr. James Bachman, soul winner par excellence in 2023. I wish you the best, my brother, in the days ahead. So, my friend, do you have a lot of riches? Are you wealthy? You know, I think we're too busy today. We do not dwell any longer on the simple things of life.
That temptation to rush from one desire to the next, nothing new, is it? It's rooted in the very nature of mankind, for whom change in all things is so sweet, as Aristotle was quoting. Remember him, Aristotle? Attributed our attraction to novelty for the sake of novelty, what scholars Ben and Jenna Story call our restless love of change to man's certain defective condition. That is, humans are somehow incomplete or mortal, and though we were aware of that mortality, it's painful to even think about, so we distract ourselves and resist any reflection at all, even today, since doing that may require acknowledging
our dependence on others, even as we recognize the vanity of some of our own. Again, back to Aristotle, he noted that most people are very forgetful of the benefits we've already received. We'd prefer to focus on the good things we've done for ourselves and others, since this gives us some sort of a reassurance of our self-sufficiency. Aristotle even pointed out that benefactors love their beneficiaries more than their beneficiaries love them. Gratitude is appropriate, but pride gets in the way. And as I continue to preach across America, one of the number one problems in the church today, pride, and brings on a lot of demonic confusion and trouble in your life.
Well, I guess it was just kind of a glitch that no one complained about. For about 2 hours, Sunday night into Monday morning, an ATM near Houston, Texas, was spitting out $100 bills instead of $20 bills to people who withdrew cash. A call went out over social media late Sunday night. The Bank of America giving away free money. And now Bank of America says in a statement, everyone fortunate enough to have capitalized on what the company is calling a vendor error can keep that money. This was a single ATM in Houston caused when a vendor incorrectly loaded $100 bills in place of tens. Well, that's quite an error. If I were hitting the $10 button there, it'd be spitting out singles. Well, there he is, standing tall in Australia. A giant cow, which stands 6 feet 4 inches tall, weighs the same as a family hatchback. A real novelty, and so big that it's been saved from the slaughterhouse. This thing weighs 3,300 pounds. Owner, cattle farmer Jeff Pearson, said this Holstein Friesen, is that how you say that? It's a dairy breed, normally weighs about 1,500 pounds, stands 4 feet tall. Even the breed's bulls only reach 5 feet 10 inches tall, weigh a couple thousand pounds, so a monster in Australia. Interesting. Hey, a man lost a large chunk of money, but a good Samaritan made sure every dollar came back. Every year around this time, James Hills and his family donate money to a few local organizations. He went out to get cash November the 19th, and later that day realized, hey, where is it? He said, I was probably doing 100 different things and just lost the $1,200, and it got to the point a few days later that I couldn't find it. He'd just come from the bank. The money was stuffed in an envelope, meant as a gift for the less fortunate, but then it just disappeared and no clues as to where it had gone. We try to spend the $1,200 or less, whatever we can come up with as far as we can, and at that point we see what we can do with it. It sends a good moral compass message to my kids, and a lot of people benefit from it. In the past, the family has donated to Children's Incorporated and the Lions Club, all kinds of things, and Hills had lost all hope. He saw a Facebook post, however, from the Orlando Police Department. It asked anyone who had lost something of value at a Silver Lake Kroger store to contact the department. He did. I started getting excited that there was a Christmas miracle out there, that I could keep this tradition alive, he said. A woman and her daughter had found the cash in the parking lot, turned it in to an employee there, and who called police. It took a week, but Hills got his money back. I love our community. I'm just speechless just thinking about this. I kind of get teary-eyed thinking, there are people out there, good people out there, a perfect message for this time of year. Every time we do something good, it comes back. Some kind of message goes out there. That is great. $1,200 cash. That mom and daughter doing the right thing.
He was from Seattle, Washington.
Alan Naiman was known for his unabashed thriftiness, to say the least, that veered into the comical oftentimes, but even those who were closest to him had no idea of the money he had quietly amassed and his last act. The Washington State social worker died of cancer this year at age 63, leaving most of his surprising $11 million estate to children's charities that help the poor, sick, disabled, and abandoned. The amount baffled the beneficiaries and his best friends who are lauding Naiman as the anniversary of his death approaches in January. That's because the Seattle man patched up his shoes with duct tape. Are you kidding me? Sought deals at the grocery store deli at closing time, and took his best friends out to lunch at fast food joints. Naaman, who died unmarried and childless, loved kids, but was intensely private, skimping, investing, and working extra jobs to stockpile money. No kidding, $11 million. And he rarely spent anything on himself after seeing how unfair life could be for the most vulnerable children. That, according to his friends. They believe a lifelong devotion to his older brother, who had a developmental disability, influenced Naaman, though he rarely spoke about it. That brother died in 2013.
Would we call this man helping man? I would certainly think so. What generosity, huh? Just joined us, special edition Hello World. All kinds of stories from days gone by.
Thousands of you listen every day, sometimes twice a day. We are so grateful. You pray for us, we pray for you. Trust this is a great day.
Have you gotten a copy of our Invisible War on the Saints spiritual warfare book yet? InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. Get a copy. Some people have bought dozens. Some folks have bought a few dozen and handed them out. They've gone overseas to the mission field. It's a great opportunity for you to, well, be educated, if you will, in the spirit world. So many Christians are in the dark in more ways than one. Get your copy today, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. It's our 40 years of work against the demons and the devil, his working in the lives of Christians especially. InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com.
So, when does it happen? When you really start hungering and thirsting for Almighty God? At what point in our lives do we begin to do that? Does it begin at salvation? I don't think it does, because in Isaiah 43:21, God says, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." If God made us for himself, naturally, he would then place in us a desire for him. So if this hungering and thirsting does not begin when a person is saved, it must be present when we're born. This would mean that every single person has within himself a yearning for God. What do you think? Perhaps you're thinking, if I did not know God until later in life, how did I have a hunger for him before I ever knew him? Now that is a good question. The concept may be difficult to grasp at first, but it's no less true. God places a desire for himself within everyone he creates. And it's also true that while some people discover and embrace this desire for God, others, the majority, never do. Let me give you an example. When a child is brought up in a home where he or she is exposed to the Word of God, a home in which the Bible is read and prayers are lifted up to God, this child will realize early in life that God has a place and a purpose and a plan for his life. This child will comprehend that the most important thing in life is a relationship with the Lord. And having begun to understand God's place in his or her life, the child will begin to think progressively about God and a loving relationship that he offers. I heard Charles Stanley say that a similar thing happened in his own life. He began attending church at a very young age, even before he knew why he was going. He listened to a lot of sermons. He also had early memories of his mother and her Bible. Charles said Mom would read it to him. Even though I did not initially understand everything she was saying, she would also pray for me and call my name before God. Even without knowing what she was doing, my mother was helping me to recognize the specific desire and hunger within me, which was for God. At the age of 12, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My decision was part of progression of an inborn desire for God that He'd placed in my heart. I can remember one of my childhood friends, however, who grew up with parents that did not go to church. They did not talk about the Bible or about God. And when I told this special friend that I'd been saved, he said, "I want to hear about that." Even though God had planted a desire for himself within both of our hearts, our lives took different paths. While my mom was wise enough to feed and water my desire for God, my friend was not so fortunate. He ended up in prison with no interest in God. Unfortunately, this situation is not uncommon. When a child has no relationship with God and no one talks to him about God, He begins to look at the things of the world and what it has to offer. And the world has a tremendous menu from which you can feast or drink if you choose to do so. If we don't realize that God has placed within our hearts hungers and thirsts that are to be satisfied only by God, then we're going to likely make choices based upon what looks appetizing and appealing to us. When we do so, then we're going to find that Satan's offerings are, wow, they are plentiful. His menu, money, power, prestige, addictions. And he whispers ever so subtly, seek after these things, and you're going to be happy. Whatever it takes, feeling good should be your number one priority in life, says the enemy. It makes me sad to think about all the things people do to feel satisfied and accepted in this old world. In contradiction to Satan's worldly offerings, God's menu is, well, it's small, very short. It contains one single item, as a matter of fact. But it's the only thing that will ever satisfy you completely. That's Jesus Christ. And with him comes peace and happiness and joy and contentment and security. We can own many things and attain many great successes in life, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, these things mean absolutely nothing. You will never be satisfied, never fulfilled, and never have a real joy or peace or contentment apart from Almighty God. A life, I'm here to tell you, my friend, a life without Jesus Christ is a miserable life indeed. Knowing this, then, we must cling to the fact that we will never be disappointed by hungering and thirsting for God. A relationship with God is intimate and fulfilling. The more you hunger and thirst for God, the more of himself he will reveal to you and the more he will give you. Our thirst for God will also open our eyes to an interesting paradox. While we will always yearn for God, we will at the same time experience satisfaction and peace and a sense of completeness and joy in our life. This is the mystery and the absolute truth about the nature of one's relationship to Almighty God. While he's always satisfying us, of course, he is also continually increasing our desire and our hunger for him. When we act upon our hunger and thirst for the Lord, we're not going to allow other things to become competition to God in this life. Many people misconstrue this God-given desire for himself as merely a longing for companionship. They direct their yearning to love and be loved toward people and things that are not God. And then what happens? Satan takes advantage of that situation. The devil begins to tell his lies, saying, direct your love toward this person. Direct your love toward this thing, and it will bring the satisfaction you need. My friend, listen to me today. When we listen carefully to our hearts, God is also speaking. I placed within your heart the desire to love and be loved. He tells us, but I placed them there for you to express that love toward me, not toward someone else. Besides, your relationship with another person will never produce the sense of wholeness that you're going to derive from knowing Almighty God. Why don't you do that today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life, eternity in heaven with God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That can be you today, my friend. Why not do that? A hungering and a thirsting for God. Within every person is a yearning for God. Aren't you glad you're saved today? And finally, I don't think it works this way. The Christian doctor said, your recovery was a miracle. The Christian patient, well, thank God. Now I don't have to pay you.
That's it. And my say for another day. I know, yeah. Join me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you again for your prayers, for your financial gifts. All of that stuff is a big, big deal. Till the next program, my friend, God bless you. Have yourself one fantastic day.